Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Kuf Ches, we're on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We are a little bit more than halfway down of the Amud. We're starting with the words Amar of Sheshes. We're going to be continuing along here in the ninth Perek. We've been on this topic for a while, admittedly. We've been talking about Kefal, we've been talking about Chomesh, and we've been talking about Toin Tanis Ganav. Now, Toin Tanis Ganav is a topic that we already discussed back in the seventh Perek, and so call this part two. Makes perfect sense. Meaning the seventh parak talked about Ganeva and Toin Tanis Ganav, and our parak is also talking about Ganeva. If you remember the structure of the Masechta, so we took a little bit of a break. In the eighth parak, instead of talking about Ganeva, we talked about bodily assault and bodily damages and the five payments that you pay when you hit somebody's body. Okay? So, and then ask me why it is that structurally the Masechta kind of interrupted the Geneva discussion with a bodily assault discussion. It's a great question. I don't have an answer, but it doesn't matter. In other words, but it is what it is. The seventh parak talked about Geneva, and our parak over here, the ninth parak, is continuing Vaiter talking about Geneva. It happens to be, okay, just in terms of things to come and things to expect, the tenth parak of the Masechta, which we're getting to shortly enough, so also is going to be talking about Geneva. So there are three prakim here in our Masechta that talk about Geneva. The 10th parak, okay, I'm telling you, you don't have to trust me. In other words, we're going to get there eventually, soon enough, actually. The 10th parak is fascinating because some more subtle Geneva topics are going to be discussed. The Geneva of Karka, we'll talk about in the 10th parak. Geneva by ratting and stitching out other people's properties, otherwise known as a Moser, we talk about in the 10th parak. So a lot of really exciting topics that are coming up over there. If I remember, we have the famous story with Rav Kahana. If you don't know the story of Rav Kahana, that's a tease. Come back and learn with us the 10th parak of the Masechta. Anyway, over here in our parak, in the 7th parak, we're in the 9th parak. In our parak over here, the 9th parak, so we're continuing the discussion of Toin Tanis Ganav. I'm Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes now says the following. Now, a little bit of context over here. In other words, you really appreciate the statement of Rav Sheshes if you were holding by yesterday's daf, right? And I assume most people who are listening right now to the daf Yomi are holding by today's daf, yesterday's daf, even though, quite frankly, this is yesterday's daf, but neither here nor there. And that is that when we're towing time, it's got enough. So remember, recall, in other words, it's an interesting halacha of the Torah, and that is that not only you chayv kefal when you ganav, when you actually steal, but there's also going to be a chayv kefal where you're towing time, it's got enough, where the relationship started off as a nice relationship of being a shomer. I entrust you to watch this item. Good. You agree to watch this item. And after having agreed to watch the item, so now what happens? What happens is that I come back and say, hey, give me back my item. And you say to me, look, I'm really sorry. I'm a shomer chinam. I'm an unpaid watchman. And it happens to be that the item was stolen from me. And I'm really sorry the item was stolen from me. Okay. Would you make a shvur to that effect? Sure, make a shvur to that effect. No problem. I'll make a shvur to the effect of not only the item no longer by me, it was stolen by me. In other words, this is what's called Toin Tanis Ganav. Okay, good. And he goes to the base and he makes such a shvur. Now, in the event that what he did was he lied, and how do we know that he lied? Because it was discovered. Witnesses stepped forward. Witnesses said, wow, that's really weird, by the way. I don't know why he claimed the item was stolen. We're looking at the item on his property. Alternatively, we saw him eat the item. Right, we had braces that describe scenarios like that. So under those circumstances, now he's going to have to pay kefal, meaning the Torah treats him as if he stole it himself. We already discussed here in the ninth parak of the Masechta, how much, to what degree are we going to treat him like a real ganav? Meaning, is he going to be paying dal v'hei if he does tficha mechira? We already touched that issue earlier in our parak. I'm just, as long as we are really understanding and digesting this idea that Toin Tanis Ganav is like Ganav itself, so then you get to ask, how much of a Ganav is he really like? Good. We already opened that. We addressed it. I'm Rav Sheshes. Now we get to continue in our Gemara. Just one other word of introduction, again, just to appreciate and understand what's all this fuss. And that is that if you look carefully in the Pesukim regarding Toin Tanis Ganav, so you'll see something regarding Shlichus Yad. Shlichus Yad is the following. I'm a shomer chinam, and that means to say that I'm a paid watchman, meaning I'm not allowed to access the item. I'm not allowed to use the item. Now, if I'm a socher or if I'm a shoel, obviously I'm allowed to use the item. But if I'm not a renter and I'm not a borrower, I'm not allowed to use the item. So as a shomer chinam, so my job description is very simple. Watch the item and that's it. Now, if I use the item, so that's what's called in halacha shlichus yad. Again, the Gemara Ban Metzia, Daf Mem Aleph, we're getting there. right? Another 2 months, approximately. So we're going to get there. So the Gemara Bava Metzia goes over what exactly is the criteria, the definition of Shlichus Yad. Our purposes right now, all we need to know is that you illegally use the item. You're a Shomer Chinam, you illegally use the item. So the Torah describes now how it is that we have to be careful that the person was not Mishaleach Yad. So now, our discussion, which we had a little bit yesterday and what we're continuing today, is how does Shlichus Yad play into the Kefal discussion? You're towing tennis kind of. You're a Shomer Chinam. You were instructed to watch the item at no pay. And now you claim that the item was stolen, which exempts you. You lied. So now you're going to be paying kefal. Where does Shlichus Yad fit in that picture? So we had a couple of opinions in yesterday's daf, and we're continuing now, even though, again, it's still yesterday's daf. We're continuing now with more. If you've been keeping score, by the way, this is now going to be a third opinion on this topic, which means now that it's pretty complicated. So I'm Rav Sheshet, Tatoin Tan is kind of baby cotton, Kevin Shalach Boyad Potter. My time, Mahachi Kamarachman, Venikra Balabai Salokim, Imlo Shalach Yado. So how Shalach Yado Potter? Rav Sheshet's reading of the Pasuk is a novel reading. We did not do it. Yesterday, when we cited other viewpoints, they didn't take this viewpoint. Rav Sheshet's reading of the Pasuk is that Shlichus Yad will exempt you from Kefal. Now, I know that's a little bit funny, by the way. Shlichus Yad exempts you from Kefal. Meaning Shlichus Yad is something that you shouldn't have done. But in other words, okay, of course you shouldn't have done it. But Shlichus Yad makes you, it's like a quasi-Kinyan, if you will. In other words, by misappropriating the item. So now, a little bit now, you are kona the item. Again, to what degree? I know it's up for discussion, not for deliberation. But at that point in time now, you're no longer going to be chayv kefal. Kefal is for geneva. Now over here again, it's not actual geneva, it's towing tanis ganav, but again, very similar to one another. So when are you a ganav? A ganav is something that is holding something that doesn't belong to him. What Rav Sheshet will tell you is that for towing tanis ganav, you're chayv kefal, but only with no shlichus yad. Once shlichus yad occurs, now the item is yours, again, illegally gained, but it doesn't matter. In other words, it's yours, and therefore there's no longer going to be kefal payment. Okay, it goes without saying, by the way. Okay, obviously. In other words, even though the item is yours, you obviously have to reimburse for the item that you took, meaning you have now taken the item. You've taken possession and ownership of the item. It just happens to be now that you have to pay. The only thing we're litigating right now is whether or not there's kefal. According to Rav Sheshet, with Shlichus Yad, there's not going to be kefal. No. No, this is not stealing. This is towing tainas ganav. I know it's subtle and I know it's a little bit more complicated, but it's not stealing. It's a claim of theft. But a claim of theft in halacha is going to be treated like theft itself when it comes to a shomer. Okay, good. Amle Rav Nachman velo shal shus mashvinoso. So good. So this is Rav Sheshet's read on the pasuk. And Rav Nachman says, okay, look, I don't know about your read about the pasuk, but I do know the following, and that is, there, every time you have a shomer who's going to come to court in order to make a claim that he is exempt, so how many shvuos is he going to make in total? He's going to make a total of 3 shvuos. They are, in order, shvuos shlo pashati ba, shvuos that I wasn't negligent in the item, shvuos shlo shalachti bo yad, a shvuos that I didn't misappropriate the item, misuse the item, and shvuos shena bereshusi. And finally, shvuos number 3 is that it's no longer in my possession. Now, my la shvuos shlo shalachti bo yad, domi de shvuos shena bereshusi. Now, if you look at these shvuos side by side, so presumably they are informing one another. They're educating us. Now, shvuos shelo bereshusi stands to reason that you made a shvuos that's not in my possession. Why? Because if it is in my possession, so not only am I a bold-faced liar, but at the same time, I'm going to be chayv kefo. So presumably now, the shvua of shalo shalachti bo yad means that, look, I didn't misuse, I didn't misappropriate, and if I did, I'm going to be chayv kefal. Meaning, isn't that the nature and purpose of all these shvuas? So av shvua shalo shalachti bo yad, ki migla milsa deshalach bo yad chayev. Okay, and if our assessment is right, and if our analysis is right, Rav Sheshet, your conclusion is incorrect. Meaning Shlichus Yad doesn't remove the kefal payment. In fact, again, this goes back to yesterday's daf. It may actually be necessary in order to be chayiv kefal. Okay, I said it. We discussed it yesterday. But certainly, if our analysis is right, Rav Sheshet is wrong. So Amar Leilo. Shvur shlo shachti bi adum shlo pashati ba. Mashvur shlo pashati ba chimigla milsa de pasha ba pata mi kefal. Afshur shlo shachti ba yad chimigla milsa de shach ba yad pata mi kefal. So Rav Sheshes will say in his defense, look, you have your analysis. I'll give you my analysis. Because recall, there are actually three shvuas that are made. Now, what Rav Nachman did is that in his analysis, he kind of ignored the first shvuah. Rav Sheshes says, let's not ignore the first shvuah. The first shvuah was shlo pashati. I wasn't negligent. Oh. And now, let's discover now that he was in fact negligent. Is there a kefal payment for negligence? No. There's a penalty of stupidity. In other words, you were asked to watch the item. You were negligent watching the item. Okay. So stupidity is strong. Let's go with just irresponsibility. Okay, we'll make it a little bit nicer. But in other words, but there's no kefal penalty for pshia. It just happens to be now that you're irresponsible, and obviously you have to make good on the item that you were irresponsible with. In other words, right, you being a shomer, even a shomer chinam, is not going to pot you from negligence. But there's no kefal on pshia. So over here, I'll say the same thing by shlichus yad. If we discover that you swore that you weren't mishalech yad, and we discover you were mishalech yad, there's not going to be kefal. So if anything, Rav Sheshes will tell you that, look, there are three shvuas over here. Shvua number one will never result in kefal. Shvua number three will result in kefal. And of course, what we're looking at is shvua number two. Shvua number two of, what if I was sholeach yad? What would be the result if I was sholeach yad? Okay, good. In other words, exactly. Rav Sheshes will tell you that if there's shlichus yad, there's no kefal. And Rav Nachman's trying to argue the other direction. Okay.
There's a difference between having
kefal
and not having
kefal
versus negating
kefal. Right. In other words, right. The Rav Sheshes position, which we just analyzed, is that Shlichus Yad now cancels kefal. It's a kefal canceller. Correct. Okay. Bar Rami Bar Chama Mamon Nechayv Kefal. Okay. Before we start with the Rami Bar Chama discussion, we are now on the very bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We are going to just, for the remainder of today's daf, I don't think we're going to finish it, but for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to basically go and play off Kefal Chumash. Okay, so quick reminders to everybody, when is there Chumash, when is there Kefal? Good? So, Chumash. Chumash will be in a scenario where someone comes at me with an accusation of, hey, that's my money. Okay, and by the way, it's not limited to the case of Shomer, but we're going to discuss in the case of Shomer, because we want Chumash Kefal to kind of like bounce off one another. So we'll discuss in the case of Shomer, but Chumash is not limited to Shmira. The Psukim that we've gone through already a number of times is very clear about it. The Psukim can be found at the tail end of Parshas Vayikra. Good. Anyway, but let's talk about in the context of Shomer. So when is there going to be an example of Chumash? Very simple. We've gone over this numerous times. Chumash would be a scenario where, accusation, hey, remember that item I left by you? Don't know what you're talking about. Full denial, kfira. Followed by, let's go to Beis Din. Fine, let's go to Beis Din. We go to Beis Din, what do? I make a shvua. Good. I filed a shvua. Now in Beis Din, that, I don't know what he's talking about. Or, alternatively, maybe the shvua is geneva. Okay, the item was stolen. Whatever. In other words, something that obviously exempts me from having to pay. Now what happens is, I'm moda. I then, after a sleepless night, come back and say, look, I'm really sorry. I lied about everything, and I like to come clean. Under those circumstances, Karen Chumash Asham, as we already discussed numerous times. Good. So that's an example of Chumash. There's also going to be Asham as well, but right now we're just focusing on payment, so we're just looking at Chumash. Good. Now, what's the example of Geneva? I'm sorry, of Kefel? It's almost identical, but with one notable difference, and that is, I had a denial. In other words, a claim against me, a denial. Again, the denial could be, item was stolen from me. Again, I'm a shomer chinam. It exempts me. Okay, now, at this point in time, is there going to be a shvua? Yeah. In other words, otherwise, we're just talking right now. Good, so I go to Beis Din and I make a shvua. I make a shvua backing up my claim that the item was stolen from me. Now, over here, what happens? I don't come clean, but rather Adam step forward and Adam say, you see that guy over there? So that claim that was stolen, he lied. We know he himself kept it for himself. Either it's on his property currently right now, or he ate it. Again, whatever the case is, he lied. So once Adam come and declare that I lied, so now under those circumstances, I have to pay kefal. This is Toin Tanis Ganav. So really, the only difference between Chomesh versus Kefal is after the Shvua, whether or not I admit that's Chomesh, or Edom come in and out me. That would be Kefal. So far, so good. We all knew that already. Now, what we're going to be discussing for really the remainder of today's daf is Chomesh Kefal. Kefal Chomesh. So let's go question number one. By Rami Rami Barchama, Mamon Mechai V'Kefal, Pocho Min HaChomesh, Odil Moshvua Mechai V'Kefal, Pocho Asa Min HaChomesh. Okay. So now we know that there cannot be a coexistence of Kefal and Chomesh. We know that. Okay. That was taught to us in a Braisa. Braisa goes back to yesterday's daf. Kufav Amin Aleph. I know there's a lot to keep track over here. I know there's a lot of Gemaras that we've done. And I'm recognizing the fact that it's hard to keep track of everything, but we did a braisa on yesterday's daf that taught us that that Kefal and Chomesh cannot coexist. Good. So what Rami Bar Chama wants to do now is pinpoint what exactly is not overlapping one over the other. I'll say it in the abstract, although it really is hard to hear it in the abstract. It's hard to really process in the abstract, and then we'll do it practically. In the abstract, he's asking the following. Is it that the mamon, which is mechayev kefal, is not going to be mechayev chomesh? Or is it going to be the shvua that's mechayev kefal is not going to be mechayev chomesh? Okay. Now, I admit, by the way, that's very abstract to say it that way. Hechidami, which brings us to the very next part of the Gemara, which is, okay, could we move it from the abstract and move it now to the more concrete? Meaning, you're asking a conceptual question. Practically, what does that look like? Hechidami. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what it looks like. Kigon. Shitan, Tainas Gana, Vinishba. Okay, it looks like this. Again, I deposited something by my friend. Here, could you wash this for me? Sure. He's a Shomer Chinam. Great. Now, I go over to him and say, where's my item? So his first line of defense is, Toin Tainas Gana. The item was stolen from me. And not only that, Nishba. We go to Beis and he makes a shvur to that effect. Good. Now, after some time, he comes over to me, meaning the Shomer comes over to me, and the Shomer says to me, you know what? I know I made a claim. I know I made a Shvua. I would like to go back to the basin. I would like to resubmit my claim. In other words, because I was slightly inaccurate the first time. Oh, okay, interesting. Really? Good. So now we go back to basin, and I resubmit my claim. And what's my resubmitted claim? My resubmitted claim is Aveda. The item was lost from me. And Vinishba. Now what I did is I swore to that claim as well. Good. So now I have two claims that I advanced and based in order to create exemption. The first claim was Geneva. Item was stolen from me. I swore to that effect. And now the second round, I go back to the basin and say, look, right? I was mixed. I was a little bit confused, meaning I'm exempt from having to pay, but it wasn't Geneva. It was rather Aveda. Okay. So he resubmitted his defense. And obviously, he put a shvu on that. Ubao edema kamaisa. And now, he has two shvus that he submitted in Beis Din. One, that he didn't steal the item. And two, I'm sorry. One, that the item was stolen from him. And two, that the item was lost. Okay. Now, ubao edema kamaisa. Vahoda brasaisa. Now, what happened is that after all that, everything falls apart. As far as his claim that the item was stolen, so witnesses come forward and say the item was never stolen. We know the item was not stolen. We saw the item on his property well after his claim that it was stolen. Okay, good. That's already tears down his first shvua. Now on his second shvua, what happened? On his second shvua, he himself comes to the basin and says, look, I made a second shvua. I'm going to come clean. I lied regarding that second shvua. He was mowed on that second shvua. Okay. So now, what are we looking at over here? It's the same item. It's two shvuos on that item. Okay. And now, when we say that Kefal and Chomesh can't coexist, is it what's stopping the coexistence? Is it the money aspect or is it the shvuos aspect? Okay, good. Now, hopefully this is starting to crystallize a little bit better because in this scenario that we just painted out, albeit it's a strange scenario, but we have two shvuos, we have one monetary item. Perfect. So now the Gemara says, So mamana mechayv kefal pocho min chomesh vayichayv leila vekfela. So is it the money, which can't double dip? You can't double dip on the money. And since the money already is chayiv kefal, i.e. the witnesses came forward and said that his first shvuah is a flat-out lie, and he really, the item wasn't stolen from him, but he himself kept it to himself, which now puts him in the category of toing tanis ganav, and now discovered by Edim, and now he's going to be chayiv kefal. And so now, since that money is mechayivim kefal, that's it. Even though he admitted he lied on the second shvuah, he can't be chayiv chomesh. That's one possibility. But the other possibility is no. Odemo shvuah mechayiv kefal pochosim in a chomesh. Vashvuah batsraisa hold the look of mechayiv lekvela tichayiv chomsha. Or on the other hand, no. He's got two shvuahs that are registered now in Beis Din. Shvuah number one, shvuah number two. Okay? And I have to admit, by the way, part of my struggles with these gemaras, if I may, is that shvuah number two doesn't just do away with shvuah number one. It doesn't expunge shvuah number one. Shvuah number one is still a registered shvuah in the Beis Din. Seems that way. I struggle a little bit to understand how that is. But anyway, but the point of the Gemara is that now that he's got two registered shvuahs in Beis Din, even though it's for one monetary item, so but now, because they're two separate shvuahs, so maybe there will be kefal and chomesh, because the kefal will go on shvuah number one, and the chomesh will go on shvuah number two. Okay. So what the Gemara now is trying to pinpoint is that when we say there's no overlap of kefal and chomesh, is there no overlap going on money? Or is there no overlap going on shvuah? Okay. I hope that was clear, and I admit it's complicated. I admit. But I think I laid it out. I think I did. Amar Rava, we continue. So the Gemara now is going to ascertain. So Tashma, Amar Lecha Menesho Keichan Shorik Shiganafta. So I go to somebody in the market and say, no, you stole my item. Now over here, in this scenario, in this price over here, there is no previous relationship between the two. The accused person is not a shomer. He's a guy in the street who I legitimately think stole my item. And so I confront the individual. You stole my item. Bring it back to me. And he says, no, didn't. Would you make a shul? Amar amen. Yep. And sure enough, he does. So under those circumstances, witnesses now say that he actually stole it, so he has to pay kefal. Okay. So the, this is an important point, by the way, which, again, took me a minute to wrap my head around. But now that my head is wrapped around it, let's all try to be clear about this. And that is, the kefal over here is not because of the shvuah. The kefal over here is because he's an actual thief. Meaning, this is not towing time has gone up. This is actual Geneva. It just happens to be that I confronted him and he made a shvuah that he didn't steal it. But that's all a little bit not the point. I understand the Bryce is trying to make a point, but the kefal requirement over here is because he actually stole. That's important.
And he admit to stealing it.
Again, that's what I'm trying to clarify. Meaning the admission over here is not the point. Meaning, the right thing, of course, it would have been that he admitted it, but that's not the point. The point is, he's an actual ganav.
But if he admitted it, he wouldn't pay kefal.
If he admitted he wouldn't be pay kefal, that's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. Now, v'im hodematzma misham keren chom v'shvasha. Now, if he was hodematzma, so now keren chom v'shvasha. Okay, good. Now, if he admitted on his own, so now, perfect. In other words, what do we have? We have a taina, kfira, shvua, hoda'a. All the necessary steps that bring us to chomish. Again, we've discussed this time and again, and I know it's a long way to get to chomish, but we have everything necessary to get to chomish. Good. So we're basically now looking at, there's a kefal opportunity. Opportunity is a strong word. there's a possibility of kefal, that's better. There's a possibility of kefal, there's a possibility of chomish. It depends what happens. Now, the v'ha'achay demud mechayv lekfeila hodem atzmo in of a hoda acher edem lo. Okay, good. Now, the edem are what's going to be mechayvim kefal. Now, only in the second half of the brisa, where an admission on his own, he's going to be chayv chomesh. If let's say the admission came after the edem, so then he would not be chayv chomesh. Presumably, that's the point of the Brisa. Meaning, the point of the Brisa is that once he's outed by Edom, that he stole the item, that's it. He's chayiv kefal. to the exclusion of, let's say afterwards, he wants to come clean. It's very good that he wants to come clean, but he's already chayv kefil. Once you're chayv kefil, you're not going to be chayv chamish. So the Gemara says, now, the shvuah that he made on the original stealing, right, where he was in full denial, no, I didn't steal it, and we're going to make a shvuah. Now, and again, this is a very subtle point, but this is really the crux of the whole proof over here. Was that shvuah significant? 100% no. In other words, when accused, you stole my item, and he said, no, I didn't, and they go to court, and he made a shvuah. That shvuah is not significant. Why? Because this is not towing tainas ganav. This is actual geneva. The fact that he made a shvuah that he didn't steal, not relevant. Good. The point now is that when all said and done, so now, vis-a-vis chomish, how many shvuahs are we looking at? There's only one shvuah when it comes to chomish. That's exactly the point. So the el alav shmamina, mamon mechayv kefal patrasim in a chomish mamina. So over here, when we can't double dip, is the inability of double dipping, chomish kefal, is it a function of shvuah? No, it's not. Because the first shvuah over the theft is not halachically anything. It has no halachic significance. It's only the shvuah is only significant vis-a-vis chomish. And yet, we're learning together, once it's kefal, there's no chomish. Once it's kefal, there's no chomish. If it's not about the shvuah, so what is it about? It's about the money. Meaning, once a monetary item has a kefal kenas attached to it, that's it. There's no longer any room for the chomish. Good. So it's not a function of shvuah, it's a function of mamun. Okay. That was all question number one. Question number two. We're in Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. Towards the top of the Amud. By Ravina. Chomish ukfela betray gavre mai. Okay, now what if, I know we just said that there can't be chomish and kefal, and that was our conclusion. But what if I introduce two people into the scenario? How are we going to have two people in the scenario? And I don't mean Toan and Nitan. I mean two people being claimed against. How could that possibly be? But once we get the case, can we now go ahead and say that there is chomish and kefal because there are going to be two defendants? So one will be Mr. Chomish and the other one will be Mr. Kefal. Can we do that? Okay, now again, it's abstract, it's conceptual. What would that look like? Hechidami. Good. The Gemara wants to spell it out. Good. So what I did is that instead of hiring one watchman, I hired two watchmen. Okay. The Gemara in Erevin, we all know it. The Gemara in Erevin says, do you know how you get something not to be watched? By hiring two people to do it. Okay. In other words, once you spread out the responsibility amongst two people, Gemara in Erevin says that it never gets done. Right? In other words, just to be clear, by the way, the Gemara in Erevin says it does, not that it doesn't work, it works. Meaning you can contract two people to watch it, but in other words, two people to do something. So in other words, it's good common sense. It's just a great lesson to take away. And that is that a watch pot, according to the Gemara Erevin, loosely, not literally, a watch pot where two people are responsible to watch it will never get cold and will never get hot. In other words, it just, whatever, it's a diffusion of responsibility. Okay, anyway. So I hire two people to watch an item. And Lishnei b'nei Adam, v'tanu bo tanis ganav, chad nishba v'hoda, and chad nishba uvau edim. So now, I say to the two of them, what happened? And they say, look, we're really sorry, but the animal was stolen from us. Okay. Great. So, and they both made a shvuah. Now, after they both made a shvuah, one was discovered to lie through via Edim, and the other one stepped forward and said, I made a false shvuah. Perfect. So now we have a scenario where it's one monetary item, two people who are responsible. Can I now say that one's going to be chayv kefal and the other one's going to be chayv chamish? And again, the case that's under review is that one would be chayv kefal because he was outed by Edim, and the second one admitted on his own that he lied. Okay. So even though we said that you can't have chomish and kefal, but maybe over here you can, because there are two different people. So my. Me and Amir b'chad gavra kapit rechman, dolam asham chumsha v'kvela, hai nisham kvela, v'hai nisham chumsha, And so over here, the Gemara just expresses the question beautifully. This inability of chumash and kefal, is that a chefta halacha? That's a gavra halacha, right? Famous language by the briskers. Over here, like literally, it's perfect in terms of articulation. Over here, do we say that you can have chumash and kefal on one item, irrespective of how many people are responsible for that item? Okay. Or alternatively, no. Maybe the chumash and kefal can be on one item if I could distribute it amongst two different people. Meaning, maybe the gavra will go, the gavra, here, not gavra, but gvarim, they will go ahead and be able to separate chumash and kefal. Teiku. Gemara says, great question. We'll leave that question unresolved. Vayra papa. Trei chumshei trei kfela b'chad gavra mai. Okay. Now, there can't be chumash and kefal. Okay? Good. That's the baseline of this entire discussion of today's daf. Can there be a double chumash? Can there be a double kefal? Again, great question from an abstract. How would that practically look like? Hechidami. Now, for a third time today. So that would look like what exactly? So, inami kigon shetan tanas gan avinishba uvaweidim v'chazavaton tanas gan avinishba uvaweidim ai. Okay, so over here, how would there be a double chumash? How would there be a double kefal? So practically, the way it would look like is that what we were going to do is we're going to go to court, and in the courtroom, you know what's going to happen. So he's going to make a shvua that I don't have the item anymore. It was stolen from me, and then. He's outed by Edim, and then for reasons which I'm not sure how it happened, we went back to the courtroom, another accusation, another shvua, and another outing by Edim. Okay. I'm a little bit unclear why it is that we went back to the court a second time, but I do understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to create that double kefal, right? A kefal liability two times over. And we could do the same thing regarding Chumash as well. In other words, same setup. We went to court. I swore, and then I admitted. And then we went to court again. I swore, and then I admitted. Double chumash. Okay. Again, I'm a little bit unclear. I'm just admitting to everyone. A little bit unclear in terms of why we went back to the courtroom, but we did. And so, can we say now that there's going to be a double kefal, a double chumash? So, ami amrina trei gavni mamona kamarech mandalon shami lave chad mamona v'acha chad gavnahu. So what are we saying? We in other words, chumash and kefal cannot overlap because they are two totally distinct, different types of payment liabilities, and that's why they can't come onto the same item. But over here, maybe you can go ahead and you can square the kefal. you can square the chumash. You'll be paying chumash twice. You'll be paying kefal twice. Maybe that's okay, or maybe no. Maybe what the Torah's insistence is that for any monetary item, it's one payment liability. Either it's going to be chumash or it's going to be kefal, but that's it. One chumash, not two chumshim. One kefal, not two kfalos. The Gemara on this, Tashma, Dama Rava, V'chamishiso, Yosef Alava, Taripta, Chamishios Harbila, Kerenachish, Mamina. On this, the Gemara has a really simple, resolute answer, and that is that you can have multiple chamishios. You can have multiple chomshin on a single item. So and for whatever reason, if we go back to Basin, I make a shvua again, and I admit again, you can have chomish repeated. Okay. Okay. So far, so good. We'll do one more round today of these Q&A, and then we'll pause. Right? Okay, good. So what happens is that the shomer was taken to court, and the item be returned, and he makes a shvua. And the shvua exempts him from having to pay. Okay, so far so good. Now after having made a shvua that exempts him from paying again, he's a shomer chinam. The claim that he made is that the item was stolen, the item was lost. Okay, and now shilin. Under the following case, what happens the following, he doesn't have to pay for the item. They went to court. As a Shomer Chinam, he excused, he exempted himself from having to pay with a claim of Geneva, Aveda, fine. And then after having done so, he goes back to the owner and says, look, I know I'm exempt from having to pay, but you know what? I'm going to pay for the item. Okay, good. It went above the letter of the law. He has a full exemption, but going above the letter of the law, he pays for the item. So far, so good. It's a wonderful story. The Gemara obviously is not interested in telling stories. The Gemara wants the halacha. What's the halacha that we want to know right now? Hukar aganav. So kefal ami. Okay, now, the ganav is discovered. Okay, so I know we've been spending all of yesterday, a good part of today, talking about towing tanis ganav. Okay, clear the system over here. Okay, this is now a really straightforward case and a straightforward scenario. There's a real ganav over here. There really was a ganav. And so now the ganav stole it from the shomer. His claim that the item was stolen is an actual correct claim. It's a truthful claim. I know we've been talking about Tony Tanis ganav for so long. We're so like used to, oh, and he lied. In this case, no, he didn't lie. He actually told the truth. There really was a ganav. Good. And the ganav was discovered. And the ganav has to pay kefal. Now, what's the question on the table? It's a great question. And oh, by the way, the Gemara in Bamitzia, it's a Mishnah in Bamitzia that discusses this straight on. So then you don't have to wonder because our Gemara is going to answer the question. If the Mishnah in Bamitzia discusses this straight out, so why are we having a discussion? I'm going to hopefully present that in just a moment. But now that I went above and beyond the letter of the law, where we went to court and I made a shvua that I don't really have to pay, but then afterwards I said, you know what? I know we went to court and I know I made a shvua, but I'm going to pay anyway for the item. Who now is getting the rights of kefal? Mm-hmm. Who's getting the rights of kefal? It's good. Again, the Mishnah in Bamitzia pretty much spells it out. We're going to get to the Mishnah in Bamitzia in just a moment.
Okay. Obviously, the victim gets the kefal.
Okay, so the victim over here is whom? Good. So I'm happy that you're confused because the Gemara is going to have a debate. Abai Amar Labal Pikadon Rav Amar Lemisha Pikadon Etzlo. So over here, so Abai will tell you, Bala Pikadon, the owner. The owner is entitled to kefal. And Rava says, Lemisha Pikadon Etzlo. And Rava will tell you the Shomer. The Shomer who now paid for the item. So when he pays for the item, he also gets the rights of whatever comes with that item that he paid for. Now, Abai Amar Labala Pikadon Kevin Dachoche Beshua. Now, Abai's position needs a little bit of clarification, but the Gemara does so. Abai will tell you the following. Look, I gave you the item to watch, right? And I asked you to watch it carefully. I know you're a Shomer Chinam, and the item was stolen from you. I get it. But then, you know what we had to do? We had to go to court. You know how much a bother it is going to court? Like, it's... Going to the court is never fun. It's never enjoyable. It's a tircha. Now you took me to court in order to swear that you're exempt from having to pay. And then after having gone to court, you then paid me anyway. But that was very taxing that I had to go to court. And so although I am appreciative, right? We're gonna walk this tightrope right now. I'm appreciative of the fact that you paid me. But in other words, if you were going to pay me anyway, we didn't have to go to court. And by virtue of the fact now that you taxed me to go to court, I'll tell you what. I appreciate you paying me for the item, but I did not relinquish kefal to you. I would have relinquished kefal to you had we not gone to court and you just simply paid me. But now that you forced me to go to court, I'm not giving up kefal. That's a baye. And Rav Amar, let me shout because not slow. Kevin Deshile, Makna like Kfela. Rava's position is so much easier to explain, so much easier to defend, and that is Rava will tell you, look, I know we went to court, and I know I swore I don't owe you the money, but when the day is over, after we left the courtroom, I reached into my pocket and I paid you. I went above and beyond. So I paid you. So what did I do now? I basically purchased the item. Again, the item is stolen right now, the item's not here, but I purchased the item, and I purchased all rights that are given that come together with the item. In the event that the ganav is discovered by Edom, I'm going to get the kefal. I just paid you the item right now. Good. So we have now a machlokus between Abai and Rava. What happens is after you go to the court and after you swear that the item was stolen, you're swearing truthfully, And that now we discover, and then I go above and beyond the letter of the law and I pay you for the item. And now we discover the ganav. Who gets kefal? So it's a machlok trina bayin rava. Now, v'kamifugi b'digo demasnisin, and I've been promising the Mishnah, but Metziah promised, and here we go, I deliver. The Gemara delivers. I just read ahead. Did not mafkid etzel chaver behemo kelim, v'nignavu oshavdo, v'shilem v'lo rasili shava, sharei amru, sharmachinim nishba v'yotzei. So, the Mishnah of Metziah describes the following scenario. It's basically our case over here, but with one notable exception. The Mishnah of Metziah says, we don't go to court. Why? Because I'm telling you right now. I know we could have gone to court, but I'm not ready to go to court. I don't want to go to court. The item was stolen from me. I could have gone to court and I could have exempted myself with a shvua, but you know what? Rather than do that, I'm just going to pay you. That's the Mishnah of Metziah. So, Nimtza gana misham teshul mekefal, tavachumach enu misham teshul me'abra v'chamisha. Now, when the ganav is discovered, ganvening, or the ganav first does tzvicha mechira, and obviously then discovered, so now there's going to be a kefal payment, there's going to be a dal v'hei payment, and lemihu mishalim, here's the mishnah about Metziah, and who is he paid to? So, lemi sha'pikadon etzlo, so he pays to mi sha'pikadon etzlo, last one holding the pikadon, otherwise known as the shomer. Why is the shomer going to get kefal? Why is the shomer going to get dal v'hei? The answer is so simple, because he paid for it. In other words, he paid the owner. So nishma v'lo rasa l'shalam nimtza ganav misham tashum mekefal, tafachamachem mashum tashum mechamisha, arba v'chamisha, ulmi mishalam le, labal pikadon. In the event that the shomer doesn't pay for the item, i.e. they go to court, i.e. he makes a shvua that the item was stolen from him, again, it's a truthful shvua, and now we discover the ganav, so he pays kefal. If we discover after Shechita Mechira, so Tzvicha Mechira, so then Dalar V'Hei. Good. And who does that get paid to? Obviously the owner. Because the owner is the one who is right now suffering the loss. And so therefore, when we discover the Ganav, and he now pays for principal, and he also pays Kefal, and possibly even Dalar V'Hei, it's all going to go to the Baal HaPikadon, the owner, not the Shomer. Good. Okay. So it's funny, by the way, because our discussion over here is almost identical to the Mishnah about Metziah, but with one important difference. Meaning, in our discussion over here, we went to court, I made a shvua of exemption, and then afterwards I say to him, you know what? I'm going to go above the letter of the law. So over here, the wrinkle in our discussion over here is that we went to court and I slept through the court with me, and basically for no reason. Because even after I made the shvua to exempt myself, I went there and I paid you anyway. So is that wrinkle significant, yes or no? Machlok trina b'ayin rava. And now, Abaye dayek mi reisha, and rava dayek mi seifa. And so over here now, Abaye and rava are basically going to look at that Mishnah Bar Metziah, and each one of them is going to be focusing a different part of it. Abaye dayek mi reisha, diktani shilem v'la rasa li shava. Tamar de la rasa li shava. Yeah, Abaye will tell you, do you know why the shomer gets to keep all the goods? The kefal, the dal v'hei, is because he didn't make a shvua. Which means, ha, top of the amud beis, ha nishba, alfa pisha shilem, lemi mashal l'bal pikadon. Oh. So in other words, Abaye will tell you that it's all because we didn't go to court. And I didn't make a shvua in court. But if we went to court and I made a shvua, and even though afterwards I decide to pay you, but still when all is said and done, I forced you to go to court. And so Abaye will tell you, it's meduyak in the Mishnah, that once we go to court, even if I go above the letter of the law, I'm not entitled to kefal, I'm not entitled to dal v'hei. And Rava, daik mi seifa, and Rava will just simply say to you, okay, you know what? I know the Reisha is sounding like Abaye. Look at the second half of the Mishnah, and Rava's medayek from the second half. Nishma v'lo ratzel l'shalem u'shvuah without paying. So time of the lo ratzel l'shalem hashilem afal pisha nishma l'mim shalem l'misha yapikad netzlo. Meaning in the seifa of the Mishnah, what is the focus of the seifa? It's all about the money. Did the shomer pay or did the shomer not pay? If the shomer didn't pay, all rights and benefits are going to be enjoyed by the owner. If the shomer did pay, shomer gets all the rights. And the possible kefal and the dal v'hei. Okay? So la bai kasha seifa. So again, now what each amar is going to do? Well, in other words, they'll just simply touch up the other half. So la bai kasha seifa amalcha bai achi ketani nishba v'lo ratzal l'shalim kodem ashvo ala lachar shvo l'mi mashalim la bala pikadon. Okay. So Abai will tell you that when you're reading the second half of the Mishnah, the way you're going to read it is nishba v'lo ratzal l'shalim before the shvoa, but rather after the shvoa. So then who do you pay? You pay the bala pikadon. Okay. And then Rava Makasha Reisha Amlecha, Rava Hachi Ketani, and Rava will just simply reread the first half of the Mishnah, Shilam V'lo Rasul Amod B'Shvua So, Ela Shilam, Lemi Mishan, Lemi Shapakar Naslo. In other words, he pays, and he doesn't want to be, he doesn't want to rely on his Shvua, meaning his Shvua could potter him. And despite the fact that he made his Shvua, you know what, he thought about it, he said, you know what, I want to go above the letter of the law, I don't want to rely on my Shvua, I want to pay you. Once the shomer pays, he's going to be receiving not only, if the ganav is discovered, Karen is also going to get kefal as well. Good. Abai and Rava will each answer up for that, for the Mishnah B'Metzia. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Tavu Abal Meshomer is where we're going to pick it up tomorrow morning. Okay, good. Let's quickly recap. Okay. A lot was going on today. We finished up yesterday's daf regarding how Shlichus Yad plays a role in Toin Tanis Ganav. Toin Tanis Ganav, you're going to be Chayiv Kefal. Is that with Shlichus Yad? Is that without Shlichus Yad? So today we saw, we first started off with the opinion of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says that if there's Shlichus Yad, there is not going to be a Kefal payment. Kefal payment is only in the absence of Shlichus Yad, not with Shlichus Yad. He quoted a pasuk. Good. That was number one. Number two, there's not going to be Kefal and Chumash. There will not be a scenario where you have Kefal and Chumash. They do not overlap. Is the inability of overlapping because of the shvuas, or is the inability of overlapping is because of the mama? That's Rami Bar Chama's question. Again, it's very abstract. The Gemara spelled out what that would look like in terms of a scenario, and the Gemara's conclusion is it's the mama. Meaning on a single monetary item, it's either chomish or it's kefal, but it can't be both. Good. Our second question is that what if we have chomish and kefal on two different people? I.e., there were two partners watching the item, and one made a claim that would result in chomish, and the other one made a claim that would result in kefal. Are we ready to split it up? That the Gemara leaves unresolved. Another question, what if it's a double chomish? What if it's a double kefal? Can there be a double chomish or a double kefal? So the Gemara on the chomish says, absolutely, there can be a double chomish. That question, admittedly, only that question has been resolved. Okay, and then finally, our last discussion is that I claim the item was stolen, and the item actually was stolen, and now we go to court, and I make a shvua that patters me, and then after we go to court, and after I've been patter via shvua, I go ahead and go above the letter of the law, and I pay you for the item. Am I now going to be entitled to kefal? Now, the Mishnah B'Metzia makes it sound like absolutely, but admittedly, in the Mishnah B'Metzia, I paid you for the item when we didn't go to court. I just decided to pay you for the item. Once I pay for the item, I'm for sure now going to be entitled to kefal upon discovery of the ganav. Over here, however, with the small little wrinkle of we first went to court, so I schlepped you to court, and after schlepping to court, now I paid you. So Abai will tell you that because I schlepped you to court, so the owner never relinquished kefal. An interesting svara, that's Abai. Rava will tell you no. Even though I schlepped you to court when all said and done, if I paid you for the item, so what now what that allows me to do is that allows me to collect, not if the ganav is discovered, not only the karen, but also kefal as well. Good. Adkan.